you know, we're playing a very storied programs and in their stadiums, and as someone who grew up a college football nut, I mean, I was crazy about it. To be able to be a part of all this is exciting, and I just hope I can leave a mark on the conference to some degree, and I'm just dust passing through, and hope that in my time passing through that I can leave a mark on the Big Ten.
At Ohio State, for instance, they're trying to figure out who their quarterback's going to be. There's a freshman, Braxton Miller, who might be in the mix there. There's some very experienced quarterbacks here, Dan Person, you, Denard. What's your advice to any young quarterback getting ready to fight for a job? What's it like as you sit back here as a guy who's been through it, think back when you were a young guy just getting into it? What's your advice to young kids playing the position?
Well, I would advise them to be patient and to be willing to sit for as long as possible, because there is so much that you need to learn and that you can learn by getting reps in practice, watching film, and learning from whoever the starter is. And too many people want everything right now, and they think they need to play right away. And the simple truth is that quarterbacks who are able to wait and are able to grow and develop without being in the fire, a lot of times end up having much more successful careers because they aren't thrown into the fire until they're ready. And many quarterbacks want to be thrown in right away, and that's fine. But they got to understand that that's going to come with some difficult times and with some tough environments. Now, it's a lot easier when you have a running game and a defense, because if all you got to do is score 10 points a game and hand the ball off and you win, it's not a whole lot you got to do. Now, if you're at a place that's not going to run the ball that successfully, you're not going to stop people that successfully, there's a little more put on you. So every freshman quarterback is thrown into different situations, whether easy or hard. But there's no doubt that a freshman quarterback who has to play, he's not being given the full load, and he's not being expected of what a fifth-year senior is being expected of. So whatever school it is that's playing a true freshman, there will be some challenges, but the better you're able to run the ball, the better you're able to play defense, you're going to have a lot more success.
You can learn by watching, by taking reps in practice and watching on the sideline during games, as well as you can learn by being thrown in.
I wouldn't say as well as. I think that your learning curve will be much faster by playing, and I think that there's no doubt that if you're playing in the games, just that you're developing as fast as you possibly can. But sometimes, and I think it shows in the NFL even more, when rookies have to play and they get thrown into the fire and they struggle, it can hurt you. You know, I've heard stories how David Carr was one of the most talented players to ever come out, but he gets put on a team that struggles with an offensive line, and he gets hit a lot, and he gets banged up, and then he starts to have confidence issues, and he's never really been the player that he was expected to be. Now, at the same time, Aaron Rodgers comes out and is able to sit for 2-3 years. By the time he's able to play, he's ready, and he's a veteran. And I think that's why he's had success, is because he was able to learn and buy his time, and he didn't have to be thrown in the fire until he was ready. And I think the same is true of a true freshman quarterback.
Hey, Kirk, I'm along those lines of the young quarterbacks. I know you got to spend some time last week with a bunch of young quarterbacks out in California. When you look at the reasons why quarterbacks or any players choose the schools that they choose, it seems like there's always kind of the hot school or the hot group of schools. Are kids, in your experiences in dealing with them and remembering back when you were recruiting, choosing schools for necessarily all the right reasons?
I think different kids have different reasons. And I was talking to a kid named Patton Robinette from Tennessee who had committed to North Carolina, and he had a 36 on his ACT. Well, Patton was clearly making a decision heavily on academics and where he could go to get a great education, and so he decided to go to North Carolina. But a lot of that decision to go to North Carolina, while football was a great place for him, was also academically. Mm-hmm. And I think that every kid has their different reasons. Now, a lot of the kids who weren't getting 36 on their ACT at that camp, that wasn't as big of an issue for them. Mm-hmm. Some kids right now who are being patted on the back quite a bit and think they're pretty good are making their decision thinking about the NFL and where they can go to throw the ball a lot and have a lot of success for the NFL. So everybody has their factors, but I think you have to look at the big picture and decide on the right place for you.
Have you noticed, and I know you've dealt with quarterbacks more than other positions, but when you were being recruited, about kids kind of getting caught up sometimes in the hot school, the way kids communicate with social media now, they're so much more interactive than they were, you know, even when you were coming out. That, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the hype maybe that might surround USC for a couple years or Florida State or Texas. Is that a difficult thing not to get swept up in when you're 17 years old?
Well, it's hard for me to say, because when I was 17 years old, I had no scholarship offers, mm-hmm. and I wasn't a heralded recruit. And so I was deciding between Western Michigan or Toledo, and then mm-hmm. suddenly Michigan State comes into the picture, and it made an easy decision for me. Mm-hmm. But if I was someone who's being offered by all these schools, I think it would make it a much more complicated process. And I can't really speak from experience, because I wasn't one of those guys. guys, but there's no doubt that it would be tempting to go play at a USC or a Florida or a Texas or a, even if I'm from Michigan. And I can't imagine how difficult of a decision that would be for someone who has all kinds of offers and places to pick from. But I think you got to lean on people wiser than you and go to whether it be parents or teachers or coaches who have been around the block and understand the big picture, and they can look back on their lives and from an informed perspective and try to give you some insight. And I think it would be important to go to those people and try to gather some insight.
So you've got the perspective of being on the other side from what a lot of those kids that you met were on. So you've seen, you know, you've seen it both ways. And you kind of, I think you just kind of answered the question. But what's your advice to them on who they should lean on, the kind of stuff they should do when they're trying to maybe filter out the wrong ideas from the right ideas?
Well, and every experience is different. So for me, I had a great high school experience. I still keep in touch with my high school friends a great deal. They still come to games. And so for me, to be able to play an hour and a half from home is a tremendous thing. It's something I wouldn't trade. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of players who maybe didn't have a great home life, and they want nothing more than to get away from that. Yeah. And so if they grew up in maybe inner city Detroit, they want nothing more than to go to a USC.
Yeah.
And I think every situation is different. But for me, it was very important for me to stay close to home. And I would tell any kid who's had a great high school experience, wants to keep in touch with their high school friends, is very close with their family, I would say it's tough to really know how much it may hurt to go far from home until you're actually gone.
Yeah.
And I would encourage anybody who wants to keep in touch with their home life back where they grew up to go to a school that is at least within reasonable distance to be able to have friends and family come to games.
Yeah. All right.
Kirk, you talked about those offers you had. Do you feel you proved some people wrong with the way that you played at Michigan State to only have those MAC offers and then Michigan State came in, or what do you think?
I don't know if I proved them wrong or not. I guess you got to go find them and talk to them. Mm-hmm. And we'll see, because there will always be doubters. And I'm really always focused on the next person who's doubting me. If I can prove somebody wrong, great. But I'm not going to focus on proving them wrong and then pointing the finger at them. I'm going to focus on proving the next guy wrong. So I'm always working to striving to get better, and this year is no different.
With all the weapons that you have at your disposal this year, does that put more pressure on you as an individual to put up statistics, more pressure as you guys as a team collectively to maybe take that next step and go to a BCS bowl game this year?
I don't think so. I don't think it puts more pressure on me. If anything, it makes my job easier to throw to three senior receivers and hand off to three experienced running backs who all could be top running backs in the Big Ten. My job is just to be a distributor and to make great decisions and to get them the football. No one's going to put more pressure on me than I'm putting on myself, and it's been that way since I was a redshirt. And I came in as a freshman and had a lot to learn. I had higher expectations of myself and put more pressure on myself than any coach or any media member or any fan. And as a result, I think that I don't let the pressure or the expectations get to me.